Hi, friends. I'm Laura, and welcome to Faithfully Explore. This is the podcast where we journey together through big questions and discover different ways people find answers. Here's a question I think every person wonders about at some point. What happens when someone we love dies? Talking about death can feel scary or sad, but it's a natural part of life. Kids, families, and even grown-ups listening may have had someone they love pass away. If that's you, I want you to know that you are not alone. About a month ago, my husband died. When he passed away, I had already been working on this episode, hoping to help kids explore different beliefs about life after death. Finishing this episode became very personal for me. Learning about how people all over the world imagine what comes after life has helped me ask questions, feel my feelings, and find a little comfort. Today, I'd love to share that journey with you. Together, we'll explore what different cultures and religions believe about what happens after our time on Earth. And maybe you'll discover ideas that help you, too.
Faithfully explores the name. Learning together is our aim. Beliefs around the globe will track. Filling up our belief backpack.
For a very, very long time, people have wondered, what happens when someone dies? Around the world, most people believe there's some kind of life after death. These beliefs give comfort and remind people to live kindly and with purpose. The Egyptians lived along the Great Nile River. They believed life on Earth was just the first part of a big journey. Death was like moving into a new forever home. They called this paradise the Field of Reeds. Can you picture it? Tall green reeds swaying in the breeze, sparkling water twisting and turning, and the warm sun shining down. In this place, no one gets sick or sad. You'd see your family and your friends, even your pets, and everything would feel perfect. To get there, you had to pass a test in the Hall of Mahat. The god Anubis with a jackal's head would weigh your heart on a scale against the feather of truth. If your heart was light, you could go to paradise. If it was heavy with unkind deeds, a creature named Ammit, part crocodile, part lion, part hippo, might gobble it up. Yikes. Egyptians prepared carefully. They wrote spells in books of the dead, preserved bodies through mummification, and packed jewelry, food, and amulets for the trip. They wanted to be ready for the journey ahead. All right, let's stand tall like an Egyptian statue. Hold your arms out like a balanced scale. Pretend you're holding your heart in one hand and a feather in the other. Which one is lighter? Let's say together, my heart is light as a feather.
My heart is light as a feather.
Next, let's zoom to Christianity. Many Christians believe in heaven, a place of peace, light, and closeness to God. The Bible describes it as a world where there's no crying, pain, or death, only joy. Christians believe that because of Jesus, they can have eternal life. In heaven, people imagine reuniting with loved ones, grandmas, grandpas, friends, and even pets. Some kids picture golden streets and fluffy clouds. Others imagine a giant playground where everyone shares toys and no one gets hurt. When someone dies, Christians often say, "She's in heaven now," to bring comfort. It's like the biggest, happiest family reunion ever. In Islam, life is seen as a test. After death comes the Day of Judgment, when Allah, the Arabic word for God, looks at people's deeds and intentions. Those who lived with kindness and faith hope to be welcomed into Jannah, or paradise. Imagine a gorgeous garden with rivers of water, milk, honey, and sparkling drinks. There are soft clothes, beautiful homes, and laughter with family and friends. Muslims say, "We belong to Allah and to Him we return," reminding themselves that life is a gift. They hope to meet again. Next, we travel to the vibrant world of Hinduism. Hindus have a unique view of what happens after death. Instead of one heaven or one afterlife, they believe in many lives. This belief is called reincarnation. Can you say that with me? Reincarnation.
Reincarnation.
Good. Reincarnation means that your soul, called Atman, leaves your body when you die and is reborn in a new body. That could be as another person or even as an animal. Each life you learn and grow. Karma means your actions matter. Good deeds equal good karma. Unkind actions equal not so good karma. Hindus say if your actions are good, your next life will be happier. If you're cruel or selfish, your next life might be harder, giving you a chance to learn kindness. Imagine life as a video game with many levels. Each time you die, you respawn to try the level again or move to the next level. If you make good choices, you level up. The ultimate level is moksha. At moksha, the game is won and you don't need to play again, unless you want to. Buddhism also teaches about many lives, but the goal is different. Buddhists say life includes suffering, like when you're sad, sick, or really want something you can't have. The Buddha taught that if we let go of craving, we can find peace. The goal is nirvana, a state of perfect peace. Imagine you've been stuck in a tough game level over and over. Nirvana is like finding the secret code that lets you step away from the game into calm freedom. Sit cross-legged, take a deep breath in. Put your hands together like a little candle flame. Now gently blow out your breath. That's nirvana, letting go of suffering. Judaism doesn't give a lot of details about the afterlife. Instead, it focuses on living a good life now. The Jewish tradition does talk about Olam Haba, the world to come. Some imagine it as a peaceful heaven. There's also Gan Eden, a garden paradise. But the most important message is live well today. Jews practice Tikkun Olam, which means repairing the world with kindness and justice. When someone dies, people say, "May their memory be a blessing." That means the good things they did keep shining in the world. After months of researching and now facing my husband's death, I have learned there are many different ways to think about the afterlife. Some beliefs emphasize reward or punishment. Others focus on cycles of rebirth or reunion with family. And some teach that we live on through the impact we make on others. I've learned that it's okay to have questions and that our beliefs can change over time. Reading about different traditions made me appreciate how much humans care about love, justice, and hope. It also reminded me that death does not erase our connections. The stories we tell, the kindness we share, and the memories we hold keep our loved ones close. For me, the idea that our actions matter resonates deeply. Whether we are talking about karma, the weighing of the heart, or simply living on in the hearts of others, there is a common thread. We can choose to be kind, helpful, and loving. That idea comforts me when I think about my husband and the way he lived his life. Talking about death and the afterlife can feel heavy, but it can also spark curiosity and empathy. As you listen to this episode, you might feel comforted by some beliefs and puzzled by others. That's okay. Ask questions. Talk with your family about what they believe. Maybe draw a picture of what you imagine happens after you die. Or write a letter to someone you love who has passed away. Remember, everyone's journey is different, and that's what makes exploring these ideas so fascinating. Meditation is like giving your mind a little rest. Just like we rest our bodies after running around, meditation helps our thoughts take a break. When we sit quietly, breathe slowly, and imagine calm things that helps us feel peaceful inside. It was really sad when my husband died, and sometimes my heart felt too heavy. I started doing meditation more often because it gave me a safe, quiet space to feel my feelings, remember him, and feel comfort. Meditation isn't only for grown-ups, it can help kids too. It can make you feel calmer, braver, or more loving. When we do meditation together, you're joining me in something that has helped me heal. And maybe it can help you too. Find a cozy spot. Maybe sitting crisscross or lying down. Close your eyes if that feels nice. Take a slow breath in through your nose. Now blow it out through your mouth like you're blowing on warm cocoa. Inhale. And exhale. One more big breath in. And sigh it all out. Now place your hand on your chest. Can you feel your heartbeat? Imagine a tiny glowing light there. Soft, warm, and gentle. With every breath, this little light gets brighter, like a cozy nightlight that makes you feel safe. Think of someone you love very much. Picture them smiling, maybe doing something they liked, like gardening or telling a silly joke. Let your heart light grow brighter and imagine it wrapping around them like a big warm hug made of love. Now imagine that light reaching out to others too. Picture lights shining from kids and families all over the world. Some believe in heaven, some in new lives, some are still wondering what happens next. All those little lights connect, making a web of kindness and love across the earth. Take a moment to rest in your glowing light. About what happens after we die. What's important is to stay curious, ask questions, and keep your heart full of love. Take one last slow breath in and blow it out. Whisper in your mind, thank you. Thank you to yourself for taking this moment. Thank you to the people you love. And thank you to the world for its stories and lights. When you're ready, wiggle your fingers and toes and gently open your eyes. After exploring these beliefs, let's step back and see what connects them. Imagine a beautiful friendship bridge that weaves these ideas together. What are some common threads? No matter what people believe happens after death, every tradition agrees. Be kind, honest, and just now. Real life tip. If your friend loses someone, a simple, I'm really sorry your grandma died, I care about you, can mean a lot. You could make them a card, sit with them at lunch, or invite them to play after school. Small kindnesses shine bright. Each belief gives hope that death isn't the end. It might be a new beginning in a paradise garden, a peaceful rest, a new life, or living on through memories. This hope helps comfort us when we lose someone we love. Real life tip. If you feel sad after losing someone, it's okay to cry. Talk to a grown-up you trust or draw a picture of a happy memory with that person. Those things can help your heart feel a little lighter. Many beliefs imagine being reunited with loved ones or staying connected in some way. Even if the details look different, love always seems to last beyond life. Real life tip. You can keep love alive by remembering a special story, planting a flower, or doing something kind in honor of the person who died. Even though they aren't here, your love for them doesn't go away. When we listen to each other's stories and respect their beliefs, it's like laying planks on our friendship bridge. The world becomes kinder when we appreciate differences and find common ground. Okay, explorers, are you ready for a game? This is a mindful listening adventure. Use your ears to notice sounds and practice being calm and focused. The game is called, What Did You Hear? Your job is to notice the sounds I play. Then we'll think about what we heard and what it might mean to different people around the world. Round one. What did you hear? Yes, a bell. In Buddhism, bells and chimes are often used in meditation, helping people focus and feel calmed. Take another deep breath and let that calm feeling spread through you. Round two. What was that? Did you hear the waves? Some people, like the ancient Greeks, imagined the afterlife beginning with a river crossing. Hearing water could remind them of starting a journey to another world. How do the waves make you feel? Peaceful? Curious? Maybe even a little adventurous? Round three. What did you hear? That cozy crackling sound? It's fire. In some traditions, like Hinduism, fire is part of ceremonies that honor those who've passed away. It can symbolize change, like a flame transforming wood into smoke. What does fire make you feel? Warmth? Comfort? Mystery? Round four. What did you hear? Harp music? In Christianity, some imagine heaven filled with music and singing, a place of joy and peace. Did that sound feel calming or uplifting, like floating on a cloud? Round five. What did you hear? Yes, the wind in the trees. Many indigenous nations remind us that after we die, we return to the earth, joining the cycle of nature. Some believe the wind carries the voices of ancestors. Close your eyes and imagine the wind as a gentle hug from those who came before us. Here's the secret. This isn't just a listening game. When you stop and really listen, your brain gets quieter, your body relaxes, and your heart feels calmer. It's meditation. Today, by listening to these sounds, we also traveled through different beliefs about what happens after life. You did an amazing job listening with your ears during our sound quest. Now your challenge is to try a new kind of listening. Listening with your heart. This week's challenge is called Listen with Your Heart, Practicing Meditation for Kids. Step one, find your quiet spot. Later today, find a quiet spot. Maybe your bedroom, your backyard, or even a cozy corner of the living room. Sit or lie down comfortably. Step two, breathe and listen. Close your eyes and take a slow breath in through your nose and out through your mouth. For 1 minute, just listen. Notice the sounds around you, maybe a bird, the hum of the fridge, or your own breath. Step three, add your heart space. Place your hand gently over your heart. Imagine a soft glowing light inside like a little lantern. With each breath, the light gets warmer and brighter. Can you feel calm, safe, or even loved while you listen? Step 4, share or reflect. After your minute of listening, tell someone in your family what you noticed, or draw a picture of it. Did your heart feel peaceful, curious, comforted? Your challenge this week is to practice heart listening for 1 minute each day. The more you practice, the stronger your calm superpower becomes. You might even discover sounds and feelings you've never noticed before. Explorers, it's time to check inside our belief backpack. This is where we keep the treasures we've discovered on our journeys. Are you ready to see what we've packed? Zip it open with me. Our first treasure says, kindness counts everywhere. Can you say that with me?
Kindness counts everywhere.
Nice. From Egyptians weighing hearts to Hindus talking about karma to Jewish people repairing the world, everyone agrees actions matter. Every time we choose kindness, we make life brighter. Here's the next treasure. Hope helps our hearts. Say it with me.
Hope helps our hearts.
Even when death feels sad or scary, people imagine beautiful gardens, music in heaven, or even new lives. These hopeful stories comfort us when we miss someone we love. Our last treasure is maybe the most powerful one. Love lasts forever. Let's say it together.
Love lasts forever.
Love doesn't disappear. It lives on in memories, in the good we do, and in the connections we carry in our hearts. You've packed 3 amazing treasures today. Kindness counts, hope helps, and love lasts forever. These are gifts you can carry with you every single day. Now your belief backpack is ready for the next adventure. It's story time! Here's a parable that comes from different cultures, including many Jewish and Asian traditions. It's often called the Long Spoons, and it teaches a powerful lesson about kindness. Once there was a woman who was curious about heaven and hell. She prayed and prayed for understanding. One night, she had a vivid dream. A wise guide appeared and said,
"Come with me. I will show you what you desire."
First, the guide brought her to a door. He opened it and they stepped into a large hall filled with long tables. On the tables were bowls and plates piled high with delicious food. Stew, bread, fruits, desserts, you name it. The smell made her stomach rumble, but the people at the tables were miserable. They were thin and hungry. Each person had an enormous spoon strapped to their arm, longer than their own arms. They could reach the food, but the spoon was so long that they couldn't put it in their own mouths. They tried and tried, but the food dribbled down or just missed. They yelled in anger. Some cried. They fought over the spilled food. Everyone was hungry and unhappy. The woman was horrified.
"This is awful,"
she cried. The guide said,
"This is hell. Everyone is focused only on feeding themselves, and no one can reach their mouths."
Then the guide said,
"Come, I'll show you heaven."
They walked through another door. It looked almost the same. Big halls, long tables, bowls overflowing with delicious food. People with those same long spoons strapped to their arms. But this time, everyone was happy and healthy. They were laughing and chatting. What was different? The woman noticed each person would scoop food with their long spoon and feed the person across from them. Then that person would scoop and feed someone else. They were feeding each other. No one was hungry and everyone was joyful.
"This is heaven,"
said the guide.
"The food and spoons are exactly the same. The difference is in the hearts of the people."
The woman woke up understanding the lesson. Kindness and sharing make the world feel like heaven. Selfishness and greed create misery. Even when things around us are the same, how we treat each other makes all the difference. So when you find yourself feeling frustrated or when you want something for yourself, remember the long spoons. Ask, "Can I share?" Can I help someone else? When you do, you turn your world into a little bit of heaven. Next time, we're climbing higher, way higher. Imagine a tree so big its branches touch the sky and its roots reach all the way to the underworld. That's Yggdrasil, the world tree of Norse mythology. It's like a cosmic treehouse holding together all nine worlds. In our next adventure, you'll meet the eagle who soars at its top, the swirl who can't stop stirring up trouble, and even a dragon who gnaws at its roots. We'll hear their stories and practice a special world tree meditation to help us feel strong, rooted, and calm, just like Yggdrasil itself. Wow, explorers, what a journey we've had today. We traveled through ancient Egypt, walked through heavenly gardens, and discovered different ways people think about what happens after we die. Even though the stories are different, we found some powerful treasures. Kindness counts everywhere. Hope helps our hearts. And love lasts forever. Talking about death can feel big and heavy, but exploring these beliefs helps us feel connected to people around the world and those we love. Remember, it's okay not to have all the answers. Questions are part of the adventure. Learning about these beliefs reminded me that love truly lasts forever. So thank you for exploring this with me. It means a lot. If today's episode got you thinking, maybe you can talk with your family about what they believe, or even draw a picture of what you imagine happens after life. And remember, you can always come back to our belief backpack when you need a little comfort. Keep your curiosity bright, your kindness strong, and your heart full. This is Laura, your guide on Faithfully Explore, saying thanks for adventuring with me today. See you next time.